Welcome, everybody, from all around the world. Welcome to this podcast, Escaping the Entanglements of Our Lives. You got yours, and I've got mine. I'm your host, I'm Dolphus Q. I'm the originator and the creator of this podcast. Now, our lives, yours and mine, are easily entangled with things, both real and imaginary, malignant, and malign. But I believe it's possible to escape the entanglements of our minds, to relieve the pressure of day-to-day living, to relieve the pressure of simply existing. Yes, escape is possible. As simple as Buddha sitting under that yum-yum tree. Now, I maintain that we all need downtime. Not just the sleep time. Sleep time is dream time. And your mind is always busy. Your mind get overloaded. Your mind needs some rest. And in that rest, oh yeah, we can escape, babe. And our minds, I believe, would definitely appreciate that. Now, if you are following me, you know what I'm doing. I'm escaping one of the major entanglements of my life. I'm reading and writing my story before your very ears. But now, as the walrus said, the time has come. Yes, my friends, all around the world, the time has come for the reading of the word. Episode 17, chapter 17, something to laugh about. I was relieved to leave the edge beneath the overpass. I wanted to get out of the area. I wanted to be back on a freight train on my way to the promised land. But instead, I felt like all I wanted was in jeopardy. I wasn't talkative. I made no attempt at conversation. I only kept walking and kept struggling to keep up. I was tired but relieved again when I saw a sign with the mileage to Kerrville. Sambolo wanted to stop and smoke a cigarette. Hey, Joe, man, take a break. I found a shady spot to sit, but spotted a deer down in a gully. The deer rested peacefully with his front legs under its body. The embankment behind the deer ran up a slope to a fence that enclosed a huge field. I moved to take a closer look because I did not see any antlers. I believe it was a doe. I moved again to look closer and the doe spotted me. She struggled up to scramble up but couldn't. Her hind legs dragged like limp legs of a rag doll. Still, she continued to try to scramble up the slope to the fence and to the field on the other side. I watched the doe scramble and struggle in vain. Sunbolo came where I stood. "Its hind legs are broken," I said sadly. Sunbolo watched the deer for a few moments. Then he stopped and picked up a huge rock. He drew back his arms. "What are you going to do? You going to kill it?" "I'm going to put it out of its misery. It's only human. The only human thing to do." He flung the rock. It missed the deer's head. Episode 17, Chapter 17.
Chapter 17. Something to laugh about. I was relieved to leave the ledge beneath the overpass. I wanted to get out of the area. I wanted to be back on a freight train on my way to the promised land. But instead, I felt like all I wanted was in jeopardy. I wasn't talkative. I made no attempt at conversation. I only kept walking and kept struggling to keep up. I was tired, but relieved again when I saw a sign with the mileage to Kerrville. Sunbolo wanted stopped to smoke a cigarette. "Hey Joe, man, take a break." I found a shady spot to sit, but spotted a deer down in a gully. The deer rested peacefully with its front legs tucked under its body. The embankment behind the deer ran up a slope to a fence that enclosed a huge field. I moved to take a closer look. I did not see any antlers. I believe it was a doe. She spotted me. She struggled to scramble up, although her hind legs dragged like the limp legs of rag doll, but still, she struggled to scramble up to the fence and to the field of freedom on the other side. I watched the doe scramble and struggle in vain. Sunbolo came to where I stood. "Its hind legs are broken," I said sadly. Sunbolo watched the deer for a few moments, then he stooped down and picked up a big rock. He drew back his arm. "Hey, what are you going to do?" I asked, alarmed. "I'm going to put it out of its misery." "You going to kill it?" I asked, astonished. "It's the only humane thing to do." He flung a rock. It missed the deer's head. He picked up another rock. He looked at me. "Joe, it's gonna die anyway," he said. "It can't help itself." "Well, I'm not going to watch you kill it." I walked away. I don't know how far I'd walked before he caught up with me. I didn't ask him about the deer. It was a while before he said anything. And when he did, it was something reflective, something I did not expect to hear. When we get to Kerrville, I think I will find a phone and call my daughters. I haven't spoken to them for a month. I think it is time to check in on them. I didn't say anything. I really didn't care to hear what he had to say, however he seemed bent upon spilling his guts. "I love those girls," he said. "It makes me mad whenever I think of what their mother wanted to do. I told that bitch you can leave me any day or night, but you ain't taking my house, and you surely ain't gonna take my girls." His face twisted like he saw his wife before his very eyes. I had seen that look in other people's eyes. I saw that look that sought a crumb of care and concern, not criticism. "Well, it sounds like you were one of those lucky guys." Sunbolo, she had the law on her side. There isn't a court in America that won't let a mother have her child unless she's judicated an unfit mother. "Was your wife an unfit mother?" His lips tightened. "Oh yeah, she had the court on her side. She could have got full custody, and she had other things on her side too. She had a good job, a good credit rating, and a lot of good people saying good things about her. Yeah, she wanted those girls, she wanted that house, and she was ready to go get the best lawyers her money could buy. Son Bolo's head began to tremble like it was a bobblehead. He looked like he would explode at any moment. I told that bit asterisk age, take my house, I'll burn it down. Take my girls. I'll shoot them dead. She knew damn well I was for real. I froze as I stared at a manifestation of madness. What? You would have killed your own daughters? I'd rather see them dead than to see them with that B asterisk TCH. I shook my head. I always felt that Son Bolo was off center, bit crazy, but now I knew for sure. What about the police? I asked. You weren't afraid she'd go to the police? I knew she wouldn't. He explained that he and his wife had been partners in crime. They knew a lot of dirt on each other. He detailed many of their misdeeds. They ranged from petty crimes to highway robbery. Highway robbery? I asked. It's like in the Old West, when stagecoaches were held up. He explained that he and his wife would drive up behind a car at night on the freeway, then switch on his high beam headlights, then quickly flash the beam from bright to dim. If the car didn't pull over to the shoulder, he would stick a flashing blue light on the dashboard. When the car would finally pull to the shoulder and stop, he would get out of his car with the sawed-off shotgun. First, he would blow out the rear tire, then he would point the shotgun at the confused and scared driver, and rob him and any passengers in the car. I asked him if he ever killed anyone doing one of those highway robberies. He looked at me with a Mona Lisa smile. Joe, do you really want to know? I shook my head. No, you are right. I really don't want to know. After that incident, he reverted to his usual weird self. He started to walk faster and urged me to walk up. I told him I was doing the best I could. I watched him race ahead of me. I thought about what he had said and how he had looked as he said it. I kept thinking, this man is deadly and capable of any act of evil. I wondered, was I an accessory to any crime he had committed while we were together, even though I had no knowledge of the crime. My thoughts made me walk slower, and I fell farther behind Son Bolo. I felt an urge to scream, I am innocent, I have not committed any crime. But my eyes never lost sight of Son Bolo, a tiny figure moving toward the horizon. The westbound traffic began to thicken and move much slower. I could tell the drivers were on their way home from work, and although the sun moved toward the sunset, it hadn't lost any of its radiance. I unbuttoned my shirt and prayed for a breeze. I saw a compact pickup truck pull over onto the shoulder of the highway just ahead of Son Bolo. I saw the brake lights come on and figured the truck had stopped. Then, I saw Son Bolo run toward the truck. When he reached the truck, he stopped for a moment, then opened the door on the passenger side. He's got a ride, I thought, and took off running, never thinking the truck would drive off without me. I ran as fast as I could. I was out of breath when I reached the truck. Son Bolo was seated in the cab next to the driver. I saw no room for me. Son. Bolo told me to hop in the bed on the back. I did so gladly, and the truck pulled back onto the freeway. Although the traffic moved slow, the breeze felt good. I sang hallelujah in my heart as if a prayer had been answered. Through the rear window, I could see Son Bolo and the driver. They appeared to be discussing something. The rear window had a slider. Son Bolo slid the window open and yelled back to me. He's gonna take us to his house, so we can take a shower and wash our clothes. I was confused. Wash our clothes, take a shower, we could get that from the Sally in Kerrville. Then it hit me, the driver lived in Kerrville. I discovered I was wrong when the truck drove past the Kerrville exit. It drove past two more exits before it reached the exit it wanted. Then the truck traveled up and down a long series of dusty hills on the road with more curse than a woman's body. Finally, I saw a subdivision of houses. The truck made a turn and soon stopped at the door to car garage. The door opened automatically and the truck proceeded into the garage. The man got out of the truck and led the way into his house. He looked like an old Texas cowboy who didn't get around much these days. His face looked rustic as if he had spent many hard days in the hot sun. He removed his cowboy hat and hung it on a hat rack nailed to the wall. We were in the utility room. It was dominated by a washer and dryer and a cabinet above the two that hung on the wall. Y'all can pull your clothes off here and throw them in the washer. You can throw the stuff from your backpacks too. There is plenty of detergent and bleach in that cabinet. The man left us at the washing machine and disappeared into another part of the house. I looked at Sun Bolo with questions in my eyes. I began to remove my clothing, but with great reluctance when it came to removing my undershorts. I looked at Sun Bolo. He stepped out of his shorts and tossed them into the washer. I followed his lead and tossed mine too. Sun Bolo poured the detergent into a measuring cup, then sprinkled it like salt over our clothes. That should clean them, he said, and turned on the machine. Come on, let's get that shower. I followed Sun Bolo into the living room of the house. I felt like cupping my penis with both of my hands. Sun Bolo walked naturally like nudity was a common thing. I wasn't comfortable with being naked as the proverbial jaybird. When we got into the living room, I was shocked to see that the tall Texan was naked too. He sat in a plush, lazy boy recliner. He stood up as naked as a jaybird as we entered. He smiled. Y'all ready for that shower? Sure thing, said Sun Bolo. Well, come with me, said the tall naked Texan to Sun Bolo. I'll show you where it's at. Before he left the room, he shoved a videotape into a VCR. Then handed the remote to me that had been on the arm of the lazy boy. He told me that should keep me company. Then he left the room with Sun Bolo. I sat in the lazy boy recliner and turned my eyes to the television screen. I clicked the remote and soon saw the start of a pornographic movie. The camera focused and zoomed in on a couple engaged in sex from every conceivable angle. I became sexually aroused as I watched. But as my arousal heightened, I was brought back to my senses, and it dawned upon me it was taking the tall Texan a long time to show Sun Bolo the shower. Then it hit me, Sun Bolo had killed the tall Texan. I stood up immediately. I was almost ready to run, nakedly, from the house. While I stood in a frantic of indecision, the tall Texan returned. I guess he assumed I was headed to the washer to check on the clothes. I don't think they are ready yet, but you can go see, and put them in the dryer if they are. He walked over to the lazy boy and flopped down like he had been whipped with a blackjack. Good God Almighty, it's hot in here, he said. I really got to get that air conditioner working. He asked me about myself, where was that from, and where was I headed? I told him and asked the same of himself, but not where he was headed. He was born in the hill country of Texas, where he had lived all his life. He had a wife, grown children, and some grandchildren. He pointed to the pictures that decorated the walls. He spoke again of the heat. He said he didn't see how we could stand to walk in it. I looked at a picture of his wife and wondered where she was. I considered this question, but before I could pose it, Sun Bolo appeared naked, drying his hair with a towel. He asked about the clothes. The man said the washer should be stopping soon. He said the dryer was powered by gas and really hot, and add within 15 minutes, it would be good and dry. Sun Bolo led me to the shower, which was in the master bedroom. The shower was at the foot of a king-size bed. I had to walk past the bed to get to the shower. The bed looked ruffled as if someone had just got up from it. That shower sure felt good. Sun Bolo pointed out the shower in the bathroom. I went inside and closed the door, but I could not close the door to the wild thoughts that circled in my mind. The spray of the water from the showerhead began to soothe my soul. I stood under different patterns of spray. I switched the water from cold as it came to hot as I could stand. The bathroom looked like the inside of a steam room when I came out. The clothes were dry. I didn't waste a moment to dress and repack my knapsack. Once Son Bolo had dressed and packed, we were ready to roll. The tall Texan pulled on a pair of jeans and stepped into a pair of boots. I thought he was going to his truck, but he walked us behind the garage and down to a footpath. This path leads down to I-10. He led us to the edge of a cliff, and sure enough, we could see Interstate 10. The tall Texan told us we weren't far from Kerrville. It was 5 miles behind us, and ahead Sonora. The man waved as we started down the footpath. I must admit it felt great to be clean, although the temperature was still in the 90s. I asked Son Bolo, would we head back to Kerrville? He said it didn't make sense to go backwards. We would never reach California that way. I thought of the promised land and its capital city, Los Angeles. The path was rocky, but we reached I-10. The moment we got an opening, we ran across the eastbound lane. I saw what Son Bolo now planned to do, head toward Sonora. I smiled. Hopefully, we'll get lucky and catch another ride. Lucky? Son Bolo cried and stared at me like I was crazy. Luck didn't have anything to do with that. I made that happen. I was tempted to ask how, but I let that temptation pass me by and only laugh like I was not convinced. You don't believe me, do you? Well, anything is possible, but some are highly unlikely, I said. But I would sure like to ride the rest of the way to El Paso. Can you make that happen? Son Bolo looked at me and shook his head like he saw something pitiful. Right now, your thoughts are so negative, I can't make nothing positive happen. His excuse ignited an explosion of laughter. I laughed until my eyes flooded with tears. Son Bolo became solemn and quiet. He bobbed his head and kept his eyes on the ground as if he was saying, "You'll see, you'll see." I continued to laugh.
And thus, we have reached the end of our episode, and I invite everybody all around the world to join us again next time for escaping the entanglements of our lives. And until then, so long, everybody.